After Peter and John heal the man who could not walk, they are arrested by the authorities. When the authorities ask in whose name they have done this, Peter replies, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you killed." Because the crowds are there along with the man they had healed, the authorities can do nothing, and they let Peter and John go. Our scripture reading picks back up in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Upon their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign God," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against God and against God's anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, God, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. We celebrate the written word of Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
We celebrate the living word, Christ among us.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Loving God, in Jesus Christ, your word has become flesh and dwells in the midst of us, full of grace and truth. By the power of your Spirit dwelling and abiding deep within us, open our hearts so that we can experience your word and be transformed in this moment to go out into the world and bless the world you love so very much. Amen. We are well into the season of Easter, and it's been a few weeks since Holy Week. Do you remember? On Good Friday, everything felt like it was ending. And then Easter morning dawned full of resurrection and life, and it was as if everything was beginning again, and it was. In the Gospel of John, the writer could barely keep it on the page. The good news just pours forth. The resurrected Christ appears to Mary and then to the disciples. And then just when you think the Gospel is wrapping up, it keeps on going. The Gospel of John ends with this wonderful exclamation. And these are just some of the things that Jesus did. If they were all written down, the whole world would not have room enough to hold all the books that could be written. I love that. The writer of the Gospel of Luke, well, they go on and write one of those books, a second book, the book of Acts. The Gospel of Luke is the first of two books. The book of Acts is its sequel. Where the Gospel of Luke leaves off, the book of Acts picks up. In the Gospel, we hear what Jesus says and does, and then in the book of Acts, we hear what the followers, what Jesus' followers say and do. His disciples, the apostles, so many more of his followers, more and more every day. We see how they figure out what it is to live life without the bodily presence of Jesus after resurrection, how they figure out what it is to live together as the still living, still loving body of Christ. They set out and discover what it is to live the way of resurrection in their flesh and bones. And there's not a dull moment. The risen Christ is with them for 40 days teaching, and then he ascends to heaven, and then the Spirit descends at Pentecost. There's a mighty wind that shakes the house, and tongues as of fire descend. And Peter explains, "This is what the prophet said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your elders will see visions, your youth will dream dreams, and so they do. Filled with the Spirit, they go out into the world and they preach and they teach and they heal, and they are thrown in jail again and again. 2 weeks ago, Paul Gaffney preached a glimpse of what their life in community was like, eating together, praying together, selling what they had so that those in need had enough. The book of Acts gives us story after story in those days, those first days of resurrection, filled with the Spirit, how the way of resurrection unfolds in the lives they live. In this morning's scripture, we read the beginning and the end of one of those first stories. Acts 2 and 3 tell the story of that time when Peter and John healed the man who could not walk, and then they went to jail. We read the beginning and the end, the healing, and the prayer they pray as they take it all in, and here's the rest of the story. It's those first days after resurrection, after Pentecost. The followers of Jesus have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're proclaiming the resurrected Christ, and they are living into, day by day, this way of resurrection. One day, John and Peter are on the road walking to the temple, and they come upon a man who is begging but cannot walk. Every morning, he has to be carried to the temple gate so that he can beg for food. As Peter and John approach, the man calls out and asks them for money. Peter goes over to the man and says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." And Peter reaches out his hand to the man. As the man leaps up, the man's feet and ankles grow strong. He stands up. He begins to walk. And as he begins to walk, he begins to jump. And he goes with Peter and John walking and jumping to the temple. Well, if preaching Jesus raised from the dead wasn't trouble enough, publicly healing the marginalized in the name of Jesus, that gets the attention of the authorities, who arrest Peter and John, and then they question him. They put them in jail, and the next morning the authorities, and it is every authority you can imagine, the priests, the teachers of the law, the Sadducees, all of them, they bring Peter and John before them, before the Sanhedrin, and they ask this question: by what power did you do this? In whose name did you do this? And Peter answers, "If we are being called to account for doing a kindness to a man who has never been able to walk, and if you are asking us how he was healed, then hear this. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom the authorities crucified, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands." Well, that leaves the authorities speechless. So they go and huddle up. You might say they go into executive session. The people in power are perplexed. What are we going to do? We can't deny this. This is a sign and a wonder, and the man is standing and walking and jumping right here. So they decide that all they can do is that they're just going to go back out, and they're going to instruct Peter and John to stop. Just stop. Stop preaching and healing in the name of Jesus. And so they go out and they tell Peter and John that, okay, here's the thing. Just don't do this anymore. No more preaching resurrection. No more healing in the name of Jesus. And here is what Peter and John say to that. No. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard, and those powers, they can't do a thing. The man is standing right there walking and jumping. Checkmate. So they let John and Peter go. And Peter and John go back to their community and tell them what has happened, or maybe the community has seen it, the healing, the jail, the witness, and then they all pray. They pray together. They praise God, creator of all things, giver of life. They pray that God will watch over them from those threats of the authorities. They pray that God will give them boldness of speech to proclaim resurrection, and as they pray, they say these words: Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your servant Jesus. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your hand. So here's the question. Whose hand? Stretch out your hand. Whose hand? Well, they're praying, so in the first instance, they must mean God. Stretch out your hand, O God, to heal and perform wonders in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your hand, O God, your hand that has molded and shaped us, that created us and everything that is, that created the beautiful diversity of us all in the image of you. Stretch out your hand, O God, your hand that stretched out and parted the waters so that your people could walk to freedom on dry ground. Your hand that led the people up out of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. Your hand that brought water from the rock and manna in the morning. Stretch out your hand, O God, your hand that reached out when we were in exile and gathered us up and brought us back home. Stretch out your hand, O God, to heal and perform wonders in the name of Jesus. And maybe as they prayed those words and heard those words, they thought, wait, we've seen that somewhere. We've seen that recently, the healing and the signs of wonders. We have seen that in Jesus the Christ. Stretch out your hand, O Christ, to heal and perform wonders in your holy name. Stretch out your hand, O Christ, your hand that reached down and grabbed a handful of dirt and made a paste of mud and spread it on eyes that could not see, and those eyes saw at first dimly, but then clear and bright. Stretch out your hand, O Christ, your hand that stretched out and summoned Lazarus up out of that tomb. Stretch out your hand, O Christ, to heal and perform wonders in your name. And maybe, as they remembered that, they remembered that Jesus wasn't the only one who had stretched out his hand. Maybe they remembered the woman who came to Jesus in a crowd. Remember her? She had been bleeding for years, and she came to Jesus in the crowd, and she stretched out her hand, and she grabbed the hem of his garment, and she experienced the healing power of Christ. Stretch out your hand, brave woman, and claim the healing that is yours. Maybe they remembered those friends. Do you remember them? Those friends who carried their friend to Jesus on a mat because he could not walk. But the crowds were too big, so they went up on the roof and they cut a hole in it and they lowered their friend down to Jesus, and he experienced the healing power of Christ. Stretch out your hand, faithful friends, and help your friend to a place of healing. Maybe you have experienced something like that. Maybe you have stretched out your hand. Maybe you've stretched out your hand to help a child who's fallen and skinned her knee. Maybe you've brushed the hair from her face and wiped away her tears and said, you know, everything's going to be okay. Maybe you've stretched out your hand and fed someone who was hungry or taken a meal to someone recovering from surgery. Maybe you have stretched out your hand in protest. Or maybe someone has stretched out their hand to you. Maybe someone has stretched out their hand to you when you have fallen, they have helped you up. Maybe someone has stretched out their hand to welcome you in when you felt lost or alone or that somehow you didn't belong. Maybe someone has stretched out their hand to you when you were hurting the most and held your hand just because of love. Maybe you've experienced something like that. After Peter and John are arrested and then released, because the authorities have nothing they can say in the face of this healing and these signs and wonders, nothing they can say in the face of this loving, tender mercy, they let them go, and the community gathers together and they pray. And they pray for something they already have. They pray for something they have just seen, something they have just experienced. They pray for the power of bold speech. and for signs and wonders, for those signs and wonders to keep on going. They've just seen Peter and John confound the powers. They've just seen signs and wonders and healing in the touch of their own hands. As Peter stretches out his hand, and as the man who hasn't been able to walk stretches out his, they pray for healing and signs and wonders already coming to life in their outstretched hands in the name of the risen Christ. They stand there in those first days of resurrection filled with the Spirit and all they have seen and heard, and they pray these words, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform wonders in the name of Jesus." We stand here in our time, and that prayer lifts up for us the question, where will we stretch out our hands to heal and to perform signs and wonders in the name of Jesus? In a world where there is so much to do, feeding the hungry, sheltering those who are on the move and have no home, binding up the brokenhearted with the touch of tender mercy, working for peace and for the freedom of neighbors on the other side of the world who are huddled in Rafah, dreading the threat of the next violent assault. In this time, in this place, in our world, where will we stretch out our hands to heal and perform wonders in the name of Jesus? They stood there in those first days of resurrection, and we stand here now with the same prayer. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform wonders in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your hand. Whose hand? Your hand. My hand. These hands that are full of healing and wonder. This is the way of resurrection. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders in the name of Jesus.